Welcome back. Today we're dialing in one of the biggest energy levers in drum and bass, the ride pattern at 170 BPM, because at this tempo, a ride can make your drop feel like it's leaning forward, urgent, alive without you adding a single extra drum. But if you get it wrong, it becomes this harsh, static layer of white noise that steals attention from the snare and just tires your ears out. So in this lesson, you're going to build a high-energy ride system in Ableton Live, mostly with stock devices. The goal is simple. A ride that sits above your snare and break, breathes with groove, and can ramp intensity across sections without turning into brittle fizz. Alright, let's set up. First, set your tempo to 170 BPM. Create a few tracks so you stay organized, a drums group for kick and snare, an optional break or top loop track, a ride MIDI track, and optionally a hats or perks track if you like to separate those. And set your snare to be the anchor, strong on beats 2 and 4. That's the king in drum and bass. The ride's job is to support that backbeat, not compete with it. Now step one is huge. Choose the right ride sample. Honestly, this is most of the result. For DNB you usually want a short to medium decay, not a 2-second wash. You want a clear ping somewhere around 4 to 8 kHz, but not that brittle cheap metal tone. And you want the low mids controlled, because that 200 to 800 Hz area can make a ride sound like metallic cardboard really fast. In Ableton, drop your ride into Simpler as a one-shot, or into a drum rack pad. In Simpler, turn warp off. Set voices to 1. That one voice choke is not just to prevent flams. It keeps the transient clean and makes your micro-timing sound intentional, instead of messy. If it's too bright, turn on Simpler's filter and start with a low-pass, LP24, somewhere around 14 to 18 kHz. You're not trying to make it dull. You're just shaving off the painful edge. Quick teacher trick. Consider layering two rides, quietly. Ride A is your ping layer, short, bright, very defined transient. Ride B is your body layer, darker, slightly longer, low-passed. Keep the body layer lower than you think. The point is thickness, not doubling the loudness. Now step 2, program the core pattern. This is the engine. Make a 1-bar MIDI clip on the ride track. You've got two main approaches. Pattern A is straight 8th notes. Clean, classic, lots of clarity. That's notes on 1.1. 1.2, 1.3, 1.4. If your break or top loop already has movement, this can be perfect. Then, and only if you need it, you add a few 16th ghost hits sparingly as little flicks of energy. Pattern B is peak energy, rolling 16ths with accents. So you put 16ths across the entire bar. But here's the key. If you leave them all the same velocity, it's going to sound like a sewing machine, like a typewriter. Fast, but dead. Instead, you're going to sculpt velocity like a drummer. A great starting pattern per beat, 4 16ths, is 110, 65, 90, 55. Then repeat that each beat, and vary it slightly so it doesn't feel copy-pasted. And don't get hung up on the exact numbers. What matters is the range. Accents should be roughly twice as strong as the ghost hits on many samples. If your velocity range is too narrow, the whole thing turns into a static loop even if the rhythm is correct. And here's an extra coaching idea. Decide what the ride is doing in your mix. At 170, a ride can be the timekeeper with a clear transient, or an air layer that's more shimmer and noise, or a mid-range aggression layer that adds bite. Pick one main roll per section. If you try to make one ride do all three at once, you'll spend the whole session chasing harshness and masking. Next, step 3, add swing, but keep it tight. Open groove pool. Try swing 16-65 for light swing, or swing 16-75 if you want it more obvious. Apply it to the ride clip, and keep the amount subtle, timing around 10-25%, random 2-8% for tiny humanization. Velocity in the groove can be optional, like 0-10%, but remember you're already designing velocity manually. And a pro workflow tip, don't commit the groove right away, keep it adjustable while you mix, because the right swing depends on your break, your bass rhythm, and how heavy your snare is. Now step 4, micro timing. This is where a ride goes from fine to alive. A ride perfectly on the grid can feel static at 170. In rolling DNB, you often either push the ride slightly ahead for urgency or pull it slightly behind for heaviness, especially in darker rollers. In Ableton's MIDI clip, nudge selected notes by about -5 to -15 milliseconds if you want it ahead, or +5 to +15 if you want it behind. A really safe starting move is, push only the offbeat slightly ahead. So the end between beats gets a tiny push that gives forward motion without wrecking the pocket your kick and snare are establishing. Also, think in terms of accent logic tied to the snare, not just the grid. A reliable feel is to let the ride recover after the snare, like it's pulling you forward, and slightly ease off right before the snare hits. That creates momentum even if the pattern stays the same. Cool. Now step 5. Processing chain. Dock devices. Clean but aggressive. First, EQ 8. Make space immediately. High pass the ride somewhere around 250 to 450 HC, depending on the sample and your layering. If it's piercing, find that harsh band around 5 to 8.5 kHz and dip it by 2 to 5 dB with a narrow bell. If it's too dull, add a gentle high shelf around 10 to 12 kHz, maybe plus 1 to 3 dB. And teacher rule, if your ride is fighting your snare crack, you carve the ride, not the snare. The snare is the statement. The ride is the support. Second, saturator. Turn on soft clip. Drive around 2 to 6 dB, then pull the output down so you're not being fooled by loudness. If you want it to speak more, try the color control around 3 to 6 kHz. Go easy. This is where energy turns into pain if you overdo it. Third, drum bus. Drive around 5 to 15%. Crunch 0 to 10%, and be careful. Rides get brittle fast. Use damp to control fizz. Usually keep boom off. You don't need low-end enhancement on a ride. Fourth, compressor or glue compressor for stability. Light control only. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds. Release auto or around 80 to 150 milliseconds. You're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. If you start clamping it, your ride turns into a constant hissy slab. Fifth, utility for stereo discipline. If your ride is wide and facey, pull width down to somewhere like 70 to 100%. In general, keep the main transient fairly narrow. If you want width, add it to an air layer, not the metallic transient layer. Now step 6, sidechain ducking so the snare stays king. If the ride makes the snare feel smaller, don't just turn the ride down. Duck it. Add a compressor after your tone chain. Enable sidechain. Input your snare track, or a snare-only bus. Set ratio around 3 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds. Adjust threshold so you get about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the snare hits. This is the magic. The ride feels loud between the snares, but it bows its head exactly when the snare needs to punch through. That's big energy without losing backbeat dominance. Now step 7, arrangement. This is where you stop thinking like a loop maker and start thinking like a DJ controlling energy. In the drop, that's maximum propulsion. Use the rolling 16th pattern with accents, or do eighths with little bursts. And don't be afraid to automate a tiny lift, maybe plus 1 to 2 dB on utility gain, or a subtle velocity lift. The listener perceives it as more speed, even though the BPM didn't change. In the intro or build, go sparser. Use eighths only, or filter the ride with auto filter low pass and slowly open it, or have the ride play only every other bar. You're saving the big engine for later. A classic roller technique is call and response with hats or brake tops. Bar 1, the ride leads. Bar 2, the hats take over and the ride thins out. That makes the groove evolve without adding more samples and cluttering the mix. And for jungle-inspired flavor, add micro fills at the end of every 8 or 16 bars. A quick 30-second burst, very short, or a tiny triplet flick as a gesture, not a full triplet grid. Then try cutting the ride for an eighth note right before a key snare. That little veto moment creates a suck-in, and the return feels louder than it actually is. Now let's cover the common mistakes, so you can avoid the usual traps. Mistake 1. The ride is too long, so it's a constant wash. Fix it with a shorter sample. One voice choke, or if you want sustain, put sustain on a separate layer instead of letting the main transient smear everywhere. Mistake 2. No velocity shape. That's the typewriter problem. Fix it with a real accent pattern, loud hits and truly softer ghosts. Mistake 3. It fights the snare presence band. Often that's 4 to 7 kHz. Fix it by dipping the ride there and sidechaining to the snare. Mistake 4. Too wide and facey. Fix it with utility width reduction, and avoid stereo enhancers on the main transient. Mistake 5. Over distortion. You wanted aggression and got brittle fizz. Back off saturator or drum bus, and tame 7 to 10 kHz with EQ. Also listen for what I call the paper tier zone. It's not only 6 to 9 kHz. It's the interaction between 3 to 5 kHz presence and 8 to 12 kHz fizz. If your snare loses crack, or your synth edge is dull, that overlap is usually why. Now a few pro tips for darker or heavier DNB. Try pushing the ride darker. Low pass around 10 to 14 kHz so it feels like pressure. not sparkle. You can also do noise layering very quietly. Use operator noise, erosion in noise mode, or a noise sample. High pass or band pass it around 6 to 14 kHz and gate it with a ride rhythm. That gives you charged air without metallic clang. And if you want it super controlled, put a gate on the noise layer and sidechain it from the ride so the noise only opens when the ride hits. Parallel aggression is also huge. Make a return track with a hard saturator or overdrive, then EQ band limit it roughly 2 to 9 or 10 kHz, then compress it. Send the ride into it lightly, like 5 to 15%. That makes the ride read on small speakers without wrecking your main tone. And if you're using a brake like an Amen top, remember compatibility. Carve space so the ride and brake aren't both screaming in the same area. Often the brake hat energy lives around 8 to 12 kHz, so you might notch the ride a bit there, or alternate which one dominates per phrase. Alright, let's do the 15-minute practice exercise. This is where it clicks. Create 2 1-bar ride clips. Clip 1. 8th notes, with a simple velocity alternation like 105 then 75, repeating. Clip 2. 16th notes, using that per beat pattern. 110, 65, 90, 55. Apply swing 16-65 from the groove pool. Timing at 15%. Random at 5%. Add a basic chain. EQ 8 with a high pass at 350 Hz and a dip at 6.5 kHz by about 3 dB. Saturator on soft clip with drive at 4 dB. Drum bus drive 10%. Crunch 4%. Then add sidechain from the snare, aiming for about 3 dB duck on snare hits. Now arrange it. Make a 16-bar drop. Use the 8-note clip for bars 1 to 8. Then switch to the 16th-note clip for bars 9 to 16. And in bars 9 to 16, automate a low pass to open slightly for lift. Then listen back and ask one question. Does bar 9 feel like the track just got faster without changing BPM? If yes, you just learned what ride energy really is in drum and bass. Before we wrap, one more advanced idea to stop your loop sounding copy-paste. Think in 2-bar phrases. Keep bar 1 consistent. In bar 2, change only one thing. Remove the last 16th before the snare, or add short burst on beat 4, or swap one hit to a different articulation like a bell ride at a low level. Tiny differences read as performed. Recap time. At 170 BPM, ride energy comes from accent design, subtle swing, and micro timing. This audio version is shortened for playback.